Good evening, everybody. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thanks for hanging out while we got everybody here. And welcome to those of you who are online. I'm Diane Farinow. I'm the director of the GME office. And I'm here to facilitate this workshop, which is the brainchild of Sarah Dalrymple, who is faculty in our family medicine department. And we're really fortunate today to have some very local expertise. Jen Siciliano is essentially one of UVA's lobbyists, if you will, so external affairs officer, and really well-versed in not only what the university advocates for, what issues are potentially impacting the university, but also what all of us as university and medical center employees can and can't do in our roles here as it relates to advocacy. And so she is going to introduce and be joined by Clark Barineau, who is with the Medical Society of Virginia. Is everybody familiar with MSV? I don't know. Yes, he is their lobbyist, if you will. I will say one thing, which is that the GME office and MSV have started to work together more closely on a number of initiatives. So MSV has some really great programs for trainees. They have a financial wellness program that they rolled out last year that we shared with the incoming interns and then with you all. And they have some wellness resources and are constantly looking for opportunities to support you all as the next generation of physicians. I really encourage you to explore what they do, what they have to offer, and how you can get involved. We're recording the session, and I'm going to turn it over to you, Jen.
First of all, thank you so much for having Clark to talk about what we do. I don't know, sometimes people want to hear about what we do, and some people don't want to hear about what we do. I guess I thought I'd start by doing just a little bit of intro, like how did I get here? I was with Inova Health System for 15 years before I came to UVA Health about 4 years ago, pretty much doing the same thing. I had a couple of extra things on my plate there, communications, marketing, and some community relations. Here, it's strictly the government relations piece on a federal, state, and local level for the health system. I've also figured I'd tell you a little bit about our team, because what I have found is that not a lot of people across the health system even know we exist. We've got a very small team. It is myself. It was Carol Craig. I don't know if any of you have worked with Carol over the years. Carol is retiring here in another couple of weeks, and we just brought on a young lady named Pamela Sirota from Moffitt Cancer Center. We stole her from there. And she's kind of hit the ground running as far as advocacy and reaching out. I'm sure at some point you will run into her, because my goal for her is to meet a lot of people here and make sure that we've got the communication going that we need going across the health system so that we can help advocate for you guys. Along with that team, we also have a federal person that sits up in Alexandria, Lynn Boyle. I don't know, you may have run into her. She's been incredibly busy since the beginning of the year with all of the changes at the federal level coming. I don't know that she sleeps anymore, but anyway, she's a great asset to the team. And then it's almost 4 years that we acquired the hospitals, two hospitals in Northern Virginia and Culpeper. A lot of people say all the Northern Virginia hospitals, but Culpeper isn't quite Northern Virginia yet. So I kind of pull them out a little bit. But we have a team member up there who deals a lot with the community and advocacy on the ground up there, Ross Snare. And that makes up our team at the health system. All of you guys and gals have worked really, really hard to get to the point where you are at. What I like to say is that advocating in your position is incredibly important. Members love seeing Clark, and maybe not as much Clark as they like seeing me. I'm only kidding. But having someone on the ground that is the person that is dealing with the patients on a day-to-day basis, you have an incredibly powerful tool in your toolbox. And to the extent that you want to become involved and be an advocate for patients, for healthcare in general, we'd love to have that. We've got a lot of people over the past 3 years, 3.5 years that I've been here that have approached us about being active in that. Having said that, we have a couple of little nuanced things about UVA Health in that we are a state agency, an arm of the state. So there are some nuances to the way that we advocate and some rules. And one of those policies, and I'm going to blank on it, I think it's EX EXP003, I think it's called Communicating with Government Officials. And that's something if you're interested, either on a personal level with your professional organization or doing something with our team, that you should familiarize yourself with, because any outreach to government officials, really, if it's not run through my office, should be on your own, and make sure that you're saying that these are your views, not the views of UVA Health. To the extent we take a position on something, then and you're involved with that, yes, we do a lot of visits to members. We do a lot of visits to Capitol Hill in Richmond, Capitol Hill, D.C. And in that regard, if we're taking positions on particular issues or bills, and one of my team is with us, then yes, we are advocating on behalf of UVA Health. It's important to have that alignment across the system to make sure that we are giving one voice to what we're advocating for. I'm trying to think of what else. I had all these things on my mind driving back from Northern Virginia, and now they're all gone. So I'm better at answering questions probably than anything else. But my office is here to be a resource, and my team is here to be a resource for anybody that wants to advocate. In any capacity, we can help with those things, help guide you. Examples of things that may not be allowed, and these are real examples that I've had to deal with over the years, not just here, but at Inova as well. Writing letters on UVA letterhead that are to members. That's a no-go unless it, you know, is approved through this office. Using your UVA email to send messages like that, no-go. If you want to send it from your personal email, we have no, you know, that's up to you. And I want to caveat that by saying I am 100%, probably more than 100% behind folks being active in their professional organizations. I think that is an incredibly important thing. Clark will probably talk about this a little bit as well, but when members start to hear from more than, say, 10 people on an issue, they start to really listen, and especially if you're one of their constituents, that's even more important. So we spend a lot of time looking at how many employees we might have in a certain area, or for a certain clinic, in a certain county, in a certain district, so that we can make sure that they know these are the folks that they're representing and they've got some UVA Health people there. Trying to think of what else. Diane, help me.
Yeah, yes, yeah. So one is, I think you have, so the ACGME, which are our programs, right, in your program requirements, there's some language about the requirements for advocacy, right? And there's sort of a basic requirement there for our trainees to sort of learn how to advocate on behalf of their patients. But some of our specialties have really specific language, pediatrics, psychiatry, et cetera. So you're available,
yes,
to come talk to the Department of Pediatrics.
Anybody that wants to hear me talk.
Right. So that's something that trainees could like reach out and request that you come talk to them. And then the second thing is like, how would we know as employees, like what issues and topics are that you're working on or that you know, potentially could use some advocacy?
So I think there's a lot.
I'll take the first one. Always available if you guys want us to come speak to groups about these things. We are in the process, I will tell you. I know MSC has a really nice presentation. I think it might be called Advocacy 101. Is that right, Clark? Something like that. We are working on the same thing here so that we have kind of a ready-made presentation for folks. This is a little more organized than me jumping out of a car and starting to talk about it than I am right now. And I'm hoping that's going to be done in the next couple months, because this is kind of our quiet time right now, at least normally it is from a state perspective. We just finished with the General Assembly. We kind of go into meetings with legislators to see what their agenda is going to be for the coming year. We start to formulate what our priorities are going to be for the year and start to have those conversations over the summer. By early fall, we kind of know what that agenda is going to be going into Richmond in January. A little bit different environment right now from a federal perspective. But the important thing is those things intersect. All of those things intersect. And there are some that are similar. There's also some standalones, right, on the state level and federal. As far as what the issues are, I would say we have general kind of every year issues that we deal with, different versions of those. I'm sure Clark's probably going to talk about those in a minute. But every session is different as far as what people's priorities are and what bills are filed. So we start to look at those when we get through the filing date at the end of the year. With the large turnover that happened last session, half of the General Assembly changed hands. We had a big job in educating people. We lost a lot of healthcare knowledge, historical knowledge, with that turnover. So we had a lot of educating to do the past two sessions, I'd say. And their priorities change. It's interesting to see each year how folks come in with ideas from constituencies. I actually like it because for me, it's kind of a litmus test of what the general population is also thinking, because a lot of those ideas are generated through their constituents and their town hall meetings and things that they have in their districts. So it can change every year, and we just kind of have to be on the ball for that. Like I said, we're working on the Advocacy 101 kind of ready-made presentation. We're also working on a way to track legislation that's a little bit easier across the system. I have to mention the university as well, because we are part of UVA, and we coordinate very closely with their government relations team on the university side. They're very focused on education issues, things that affect the university, but we do intersect on a lot of things, student health. That's just one example of the ways research is a way that we cross over on a lot of things. So we work very, very closely with them. At the end of the year, before we go into General Assembly, we do all sit down and make sure that the leadership of the university and the health system is aware of all the issues that are prioritized for us going in. And that actually is our approved agenda going into the General Assembly and on the federal level too. Does that answer that question? Okay. How about other questions people might have?
When someone's participating in advocacy, my understanding is that you can pretty much say literally everything about your professional identity except that you work in UVA.
I think if you're asked, obviously, yeah. Tell them. But I think the easy way
to handle that is, you can say, I'm here, I do work for UVA Health, but I am here in my personal capacity for advocating for this issue because I feel so strongly about it, XYZ, whatever that is. I mean, I wouldn't say, don't tell them where you work. I mean, that's kind of hard, right? When someone asks you that question, and most of the time they do, to be honest with you. So I think the caveat is just, this is where I work, but I want you to know that I'm here in my personal capacity, and then that usually solves that problem really easily. Where we get caught off guard sometimes is where folks go in and don't say that, and then the member then thinks that they're, getting the UVA Health position, and we sometimes have to come behind and say no or yes. We feel the same way, but there are times, we're not necessarily, these are the nuances that I say, because we're a state agency that we have to be sometimes a little careful about, and it's a balance.
If we're going to be advocating, about something we see professionally and on some level, we're fighting for, to address an inequity. And I know right now, equity or the E, DEI is not so much favored in either not only at the state level but also here, at the university level. Do you feel like that's impacting UVA's ability to actually, advocate for certain that?
That's a really good question, and I think we're all. And I'm not just saying UVA Health.
I would say all health systems, the universities. We're all navigating all of that the best we can right now. I think that we are continually getting guidance on how, as a whole, we're going to handle some of those things. To the first, I kind of feel like there's two parts to your question. The first part of what do you do if you want to advocate for something or see an inequity or whatever? I really appreciate when I get emails from our employees saying, I saw a bill last year that did X, and I just want you to know I work on blah, 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 blah. And I might have some good input for that going forward. And that's part of our process from now until the early fall that I was talking about. Like if we have people approach us, I had one this morning and I'm trying to think of what that one was. There was a, I think it was advanced, was it Patrick Hope's bill? Was it advanced directives bill? I'm blanking right now. I think it was. Okay, Clark's telling me yes. And I had somebody reach out today about that saying they were worried. I think it failed. So I got to go back and look because it did, right? Yeah. Because we go through over 300 or 400 bills. So there's sometimes they don't all stick in my head. That's why I wish I had my spreadsheet with me. That's easy to check. This particular person saw that happen. They work kind of in that area and said, we think we have some suggestions on, I think there was a surrogate part to it, and they wanted to have some input. So at some point, probably early June, I'm going to sit down with them and hear what they have to say. That's something that we take to the hospital association as a whole and say, hey, we've got folks feeling this way. And then if they hear from enough people, then it rises to the level of, do we take a position as a healthcare hospital and healthcare association on that bill and go from there? That is probably something else I missed other than MSV. We're part of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association. We're part of WMC. We're part of I'm trying to think of them all now, all the acronyms, but all of the major national organizations, AHA, that's the one that was sticking in my throat there, all of those. And we were pretty active in all of those as far as making sure that our position is put forward. We sign on to letters all the time that come from those organizations, or sometimes we don't. It just depends on, you know, the issue. And it is very much a one by one that we evaluate. But I love hearing from people. So when if you hear somebody saying we've got a problem, and you know, you take it up through your manager, and then maybe the manager can reach out, you know, to our shop and say, hey, we're seeing this. Are there any bills that are, you know, kind of bubbling out there? If not, how do we get this issue talked about? So basically a resource. That's what we're here for. What about other questions?
Who's got a hand up? Is that your hand, Clark?
It's my hand.
It's your hand, Clark.
We did.
I'm gonna pass it over to you.
I raised my hand because I did want to piggyback off the question of really how to get involved. The Medical Society is a trade association of physicians, residents, medical students, and physician assistants. As UVA employees, you all are MSV members. Congratulations. You might not know that, but you are. You are on a spreadsheet. Your name is on. And if you want to get involved more, and perhaps the umbrella of UVA is not the best avenue for you to do so, given their status or otherwise policy portfolio, welcome to the Medical Society. We will get you involved in anything you want to get involved with. Now, we can't always do it as heartily and quickly as you might want, but we want to put physicians at the table of policy conversations in Virginia. We recently put a physician on the milk board of Virginia because they reached out to us and said they were very interested in milk regulation, which was not a world I knew existed before today. So if there are issues you are passionate about, public health might be in the news lately. Reproductive health might be in the news lately. Hospital administration, which we would never criticize at UVA, but other places I hear they have problems. You know, how we can affect those things and work with them. And find you the right avenue to get involved. And sometimes I'll be the first one to tell you, we might not be the right avenue. Maybe it's the American Academy of Pediatrics. Maybe it's the Virginia Society of Anesthesiologists. There are avenues when it comes to organized medicine. We exist to facilitate your interest and make you successful and elevate the position of physicians. How you do that? You just reach out to me. It's not more complicated than that. People have reached out to us, and 6 months later, we've put them on the Board of Medicine. That's just all it takes sometimes, is someone being willing to step up and serve. Obviously, you have busy lives. You know, that might not be an interest to you. But similar to Jen, if there's ever a question about a bill or why the heck did that pass or why the heck did that not become law, as Jen knows, sometimes the explanation we're not going to put in writing. Sometimes we're going to pick up the phone and explain to you why certain bills maybe do not become law here in the Commonwealth. Because politics is local. Here in Virginia, if you're not familiar, our General Assembly meets for anywhere from 45 to 60 days. They consider 3,000 bills. If you do the math, that's several hundred bills a day that are living and dying every single moment. It moves very fast, and you have to kind of know all the pieces and the players to even have a tiny bit of grasp of why the heck things work the way they do. The medical society, in terms of why we do what we do, just like UVA, we can only do so much. We track around 400 to 500 bills every year. I would say about 30 of those are top priorities. Whether they live or die affects our ability to say we were successful or not to our board. If you want to get involved in determining what those priorities are, there are several avenues to do that as well. So lately, our priorities have been prior authorization reform. So we've steadily improved the prior authorization process throughout the last several years. Most recently, 2 years ago, we passed a bill that extended the number of days a prior auth was good if an individual switched health plans. So if you switch your health plan, you're on Aetna, and you have a prior auth, and you switch it to United. It used to be that that prior auth was only good for 30 days. Now it's good for 90 days. A small thing, but that is how we are successful downtown. We're successful by hearing stories from providers, and they say, this rule doesn't work. And then we get literal detail on how it doesn't work, and then we go and fix it. Because when we have real, honest-to-God patient stories, we have never lost. I've had this job 6 years. We've never lost. When we have real, honest-to-God, this is hurting a real person, we have never lost. And that is how we're successful. If you want to get involved in politics because you want to make big speeches on a soapbox, I can put you there. But I'm going to tell you, the most effective way we can be is real, honest-to-God, fixing real problems. And so that is to say, there was some allusion to it earlier, but that's what the medical society has been doing for about the last decade. We're trying to fix physician problems. We were the first state in the country to launch a healthcare provider wellness program with confidentiality baked into the cake so that healthcare providers could go see a therapist confidentially and not have to worry about reporting to the Board of Medicine. Virginia went first. This was right before COVID. Virginia never goes first. Jen, has Virginia ever gone first on anything?
I don't think so.
We're like a proud 17th. That's usually we were first. And as I said, this was right before COVID. And now this law has been passed in Georgia and Iowa and Michigan. They're working on it in the Dakotas. It's a very cool thing because our providers came to us, and this was before COVID. And they basically all said, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm miserable, and I'm terrified of getting help. So we had to find a way for them to feel comfortable getting help. Another thing that we were able to do this year was around hospital violence. We heard over and over again from our providers, but also the Nursing Association, the Physician Assistant Association, that honestly, they were getting afraid to go to work, that incidents of violence in hospitals were increasing. Every statistic in the world says that, and that they were facing significant burdens on their well-being and their ability to do their job because of this violence. So we found real stories. We made them fill out a spreadsheet, fill out a Google form. We have real stories of provider violence. And we went to the General Assembly and said, we have a problem here. This year, we were able to pass a law that mirrors California's law that basically says hospitals, you have to have a policy on healthcare violence, provider violence. You have to communicate that policy. It can't be a secret. We promise we have a policy, but you're not allowed to see a policy. And there have to be consequences for violating the policy. In addition to that, we have to be able to track incidents of violence. Because in Virginia, the best record of incidents of hospital provider violence is the Google form that I created last summer. I don't think I should be the leader in Virginia in anything. The fact that we had the best data available, you know, once we started talking about those real stories and the fact the data was so nebulous and anecdotal, the General Assembly stepped up and did the right thing. That is my pitch for the Medical Society. If you want to get involved, we'll get you involved. If you care about real issues that are affecting you and your ability to practice, let us know. The more specific, the better, and we'll run it to ground. Now, Jen will also tell you this. Not everything needs to be a bill. Not everything needs to be a law. So if there's an issue you're having with Anthem, I can call Anthem's lobbyist.
Hi. Yes. Nice to see you. And I work with the residents on their advocacy training. Is there a way that we could, if there were a child health bill or two, that our residents, I could make that known and they could? But they're included.
Sure.
Because they have tremendous experience.
Absolutely. And I will make sure that we chat as we're formulating this whole new process, because it's going to be very different than it was in the past. I mean, I think it was hit or miss in the past, and we want to take a more comprehensive approach to that, so that A, more people are aware we exist, and B, also aware that they have a voice. I mean, we catalog all of the comments that we get on particular bills to help us, you know, A, inform us on where we should be on it, and B, help the patrons of those bills make those bills better. So anything you want to add, Clark?
I was going to ask Clark a question. So, Clark, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you are part of the MSV listserv or follow on the website, they do kind of, there are like updates on what bills the MSV in particular is watching and looking at. That's correct, right?
That is absolutely like, correct. So every Friday during session, not me, but my name's on it. Colleen, who works with me, writes an update that gets put on our website. We send action alerts. So this is email your delegate, email your senator, pretty much all the time, during session as things move from subcommittee to committee. And everything we do, especially if they're big votes, you know, goes up on social media. So if there's any opportunity, if you're not signed up for anything on the communication side of the medical side, that's probably our easiest way. And if you have any questions, because it's a big website, about how to do that, just message me. We try to make it easy for you. We understand no one needs another email in their life. But, you know, people want information and they want it quickly.
And that is part of the process, too, that we're trying to do here, that we have some sort of place that anyone can go and look at what we're working on. We have done updates very similar, you know, during the week. I just don't think they've been cascaded the way that they need to be cascaded throughout the organization. So that's another piece of our puzzle that we're working on too, is how to make sure they're cascaded so people can look at it and not make it too in the weeds politically, you know, legislatively, all of that. So people can just kind of take a look, say, oh, wait, that interests me. Have a link there that they can click through, read the bill. If it is what, you know, something that they want to weigh in on, they can shoot an email. So we're working on that process. So I will definitely reach out, because on the receiver end, that's where I want it to be easy.
What else?
Just out of more curiosity about fuel. Really, I don't consider myself up to date on state politics as much.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of news to
believe me. I understand. Consume.
What's the share of things that were either from UVA or MSV, more actively opposing, something that we think is going to be harmful or something that's taking away a beneficial program, versus promoting things? I mean, it's hard to come up with something, I think this should be an idea, or I think
right. This
would probably be good. I don't really know that, but I know this is going to be bad if this passes.
I mean, I'm curious to see how Clark's going to answer that. I think we, from the UVA Health University perspective, I think that's part of our process as we watch the bills. What you see presented on, you know, by the deadline is never, ever what comes out the other end. And so that's what requires the look, because you could support something in the beginning and there's all these things that happen to it in between. And then this product comes out at the end that in the end might be not necessarily good for you. So it is a constant process of evaluating, watching these things through committees and seeing. I mean, it can come down to, Clark will tell you, one word can change everything. In a bill, and how it impacts the health system, you know, our docs, our nurses, our, you know, rad techs, all of that stuff. It has to be considered. So I don't quite know how to answer that question, other than we just have to keep our eye on it constantly as it moves through the process.
Yeah, I mean, I that's a great point. A good word that matters too often in legislation is mays versus shalls.
Yes.
Physician shall. The medical society probably isn't going to like it. We don't like being told what to do. A physician may. We may do a lot of stuff. Sure. Pass. Sure. Rock and roll. That bill can be. I do think, you know, it can be intimidating, the state general assembly. It's weird. I missed 60 days at most. You know, they get paid $16,000 to come. These people are doing it 99.9% of them are doing it truthfully because they care about their community. I do believe politics has not, the cynicism of American politics has not totally made its way to the Virginia General Assembly. We are still there to do good by people. Yes. And I believe that. And I wouldn't lie to y'all. And this is being recorded, so I'm sure somebody.
So when you run for office, we'll pull this tape, man.
it does work. And I would say a thing to think about is currently in the General Assembly, there are zero physicians. Bagel, zero. There are two pharmacists, and there is one pediatric dentist. That's healthcare. Now, there are some delegates and senators who've been around a while and know a thing or two. And they have expertise, but most of the people in the General Assembly do not know what you know. Most of the people in the General Assembly, you know more about healthcare than they do. And
by so far,
it is a responsibility, you ask me, of your community to then help them know what you know. Many years ago, I did a media training for the Medical Society when I was a lowly contract lobbyist. And I explained to our board then that the average member of the General Assembly does not know the difference between Medicaid and Medicare. That is true.
Yes.
Sounds true.
Agree.
Sounds not good. But that is our responsibility to explain to people what those realities are. I would also say 90, I'm using a lot of bad math right now, 95% of bills are boring bills. 3,000 bills. Not all of them are front page news, Washington Post bills. Not all of them are things you see in political ads. Most of them are should the time period for retroactive prior authorization be 30 days or 90 days? The number of people who have a hard and fast opinion about that are few and far between.
Yes.
And so it is our responsibility to explain to people what that reality will mean on the ground in terms of the practice of medicine, in terms of how it affects patients. So most bills are trying to solve a problem. And so it's Jen and I's job and your job to help us sound smart when we try to describe the real world impact of these things. Most bills, the ones that are party line are going to be party line. And they're all the issues you see on the front page of your newspaper and in political ads. But many of them get weird. Many votes can be 9-6 and people who believe in the best colors red versus the best colors blue are voting together because they both care about, what do we care about, Jen? Beagles. Beagles was a big issue a few
beagles.
Years
ago. Beagles. We definitely cared about beagles.
Slot machines. We have a lot of strange allies and friends sometimes.
Very strange.
In the General Assembly. So I think, you know, most bills are boring. Most bills are technical. And that's where your real world expertise is needed, honestly, the most. The big political ones, the ones you read about, those votes are cast already. You know who's going to vote what based on the letter next to their name 95% of time on those key issues. But the ones that are things people have never even heard of, what is prior authorization? What's a health carrier? You mean an insurance plan? Do I have insurance? No, you're on the state plan. You don't have a private plan. There's ERISA that doesn't apply to you. These are kind of the things we have to walk through with people to get them to understand what we're asking them to do.
Yeah.
It's the same vein. I don't want to interrupt your train of thought. I wanted to mention too, we talk about the
45 in the 60-day session. I mean, there are budget items too. This was an amendment year. Next year is a budget year, where we do have some priorities. My example I'll give you is, you know, the Manning Institute that we have worked on for the past two budget cycles. And that does have some state money with it for recruitment of these researchers. So there are legislative, there's budget. And to a point that Clark made that I think is very important is that not everything should be a piece of legislation. We get a lot of, when I was talking to you about coming to me with things that you've seen that could potentially be regulatory issues, dealing with the folks that regulate our industry, the specific line items, we would go to that particular agency if there's a problem in that regard. It wouldn't necessarily need a piece of legislation. So there, I call it the octopus tentacles because we have, we just don't have one job. When you hear, oh, we do government relations, we do budget, we do legislation, whatever, but it is a lot more than that. Constituent issues, that's some other things that we deal with. And sometimes the constituent issues that are brought to these members ultimately become bills because they're put in front of them as a problem that needs to be solved. But there are other aspects than just the legislative piece too, the budgetary piece as well. And obviously being part of the state, we enjoy some advantages in that regard, but it is another part. To your question.
One thing that affected us here was when an executive order came out that aimed to kind of prohibit our ability to provide certain parts of transgender care for young people, for patients under the age of 19. And my understanding, very like kind of basic understanding, is that the Attorney General of the state of Virginia told UVA and VCU that we could provide this care. And so my question for y'all is, what, if anything, from physicians at these institutions might have made a difference or could still make a difference in how we advocate for our ability to provide this care to patients, which we believe is, or, you know, which is comprehensive, evidence-based, life-saving care.
So this one
was a tricky one for us. And I'm not sure if everyone knows. I don't think everyone knows. Sometimes I come across people who don't know that the Attorney General is ultimately our legal counsel at UVA. And so our general counsel for the university and for the health system report up to the Attorney General. And issues like this, obviously, philosophically, you know, we have faculty that feel very strongly about that care, and that differs a little bit in the opinion, you know, the opinion that's out with this administration. And again, respecting everyone on either side's view, we have advocated for some of those things. Sometimes it's a little more of an uphill battle than other times. This was one of those times. Yeah, that's okay. Hey, this was one of those times. And we run up against that every now and then. I think we were successful in showing that we had folks that really cared about that issue. Ultimately, we had to abide by the executive order and the guidance that was given by the Attorney General. The Board of Visitors decided that, and we had to ultimately do that. I get to talk to a lot of the members. Delegate Rome from Northern Virginia, very familiar with the care that we give here. Everywhere I have been, have had folks say that they've heard UVA is the best care. But we're in a very different time period right now that is a little more challenging from a lobbying standpoint, you know, a legislative standpoint. And sometimes that doesn't always go the way we want it to.
If I may, and I can't speak to UVA's machinations, we've told our members, because we've had a lot of outreach based on the last 3 months and all of the executive orders. Any executive order, it's hard to say what it is and is not going to do, because it's going to go to the courts, pretty much all of them. And so where it is and what appellate court it's heard from is hard. I would offer, this is a time to get in front of your delegate and senator and explain the realities of what you're going through. And I only bring that up because the most effective testimony I have ever seen was from a bill 3 years ago. It was a bill that would have banned transgender care, straight up. And a trans man came and he spoke eloquently. He spoke from the basis of science and the facts in his experience. And plain as day, the people who would have voted for that bill abstained from their vote because of the power of their personal testimony. Now, that individual did not up there and say, you're all bad people and you don't know what you're doing. He walked them through their experience, and no one in their right mind would have voted for that bill. That is the power we have to have when things like this come down. If there are issues, controversial issues, you know, that you want to get involved in, the medical society will try to find you the right avenue to do so. We might not always be the right avenue. But I do always believe if you can get in front of a person and tell them your story and your experience, our General Assembly will listen. The most conservative will listen. The most liberal will listen. Again, they all want to try and do the right thing if they can. And they don't always do it, but they want to try. They really do.
Yeah.
So I know that's not a great answer. It doesn't solve our problem. It is affecting. I've seen it be affecting.
For the most part, our participation is reactive. There's not really a role for proactive advocacy in that regard, because you're saying that this was in response to a bill attempting to ban the care, as opposed to, you know, speaking to legislators. There's not a lot of you, or I guess it may not be as high yield to go and speak to legislators if there's not something actively trying to be passed that would affect the care that we want to provide.
No, I our story is reactive, obviously, but we are proactive as well. Like I said, when there are problems that present, we can think of creative solutions. If you want to get involved on the proactive side, we have an advocacy committee at the Medical Society. We run anywhere from 4 to about 8 bills a year. That is our proactive. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get it done. That is done through the committee process of our membership. People vote. They say, this is real. This should be a top priority. And then myself and our legal team go about trying to write those bills. So if there is an issue you care about and you say, this law needs to change, we can talk about how to do that. Now, sometimes there are laws that are on the books and maybe they're not enforced. Sometimes maybe it's a regulation and not a law. There are always things. Sometimes if it's a problem with Medicare, then you got to go through the AMA and the federal route. But we are reactive. I run 4 to 8 bills a year. There are 3,000 bills. Probably 400 that I care about. So the math does math. I am reacting more than I am proacting most of the time. If there are things you want to change and it's documented, we can solve it. I believe that wholeheartedly.
I've mentioned a few times that like patient stories are definitely something that's really important. Is it imperative then for us to quote unquote bring patients,
or can we just tell the stories of patients? Like, you know, one requires said individual to be a lot more vulnerable and put themselves out there, whereas we can be, you know, a voice for, you know, those who may feel that they're at risk.
No, we scrubbed data to keep everyone keep everyone safe and live within the means in which they're comfortable. Obviously, you all have HIPAA and every other regulation on the planet on top of you. We're going to take care of them. But the more specific, the better. You know, I had a patient, let's call them Trevor. They came in April. I mean, there are things we can do that matter, because when we speak in generalities, it's not as effective. But we're going to take care of the patient. Obviously, if they can come, fantastic. If they're not comfortable, then obviously we're going to do the best we can with what we have. But we're always going to make sure people are comfortable sharing their stories. We're never going to violate anyone's trust.
But is the norm then for us to give, you know, hey, I have this patient, Trevor, said story, or is the norm more so that, you know, that we're bringing patients with us to the, you know?
The former, the stories collected from the Google Forms. Rarely have we had patients show up, and you know, they have lives. So
yeah, and it depends. Like you said, it depends on the person, you know, how they want to advocate for themselves
too. I mean, they may like that you're their voice, or there are some people I have seen that are very comfortable coming and telling their story as well. One of the things that I have started to have a conversation with communications about is a repository of some sort where we can put those and draw from them, because that would be very, very helpful. Do you guys have something like that, Clark? I'm just not familiar, like a repository of stories?
Yeah, we do. You can email the MSV Government Affairs inbox.
That would be Clark Barano at...
It would be cbarano@msv.org. Anything and everything we can run to ground for you. It's simple. Yeah. We passed a bill this year because a guy in our policy department got screwed over by his health insurer. And they charged him an enormous fee that they shouldn't have charged him. And so then we ran a bill to ban junk fees in certain parts of the insurance code. So it just took one guy telling me his problem, and it turns out he worked for me. And we were able to do that. Additionally, a lot of our prior auth law the last couple of years is because our former director of membership has rheumatoid arthritis, and her prior auth stuff keeps getting jacked with. So every time it does, we run it to ground. So if even just one instance, we can make real change, because I think, again, people want to do the right thing.
There's a lot of change going on right now. A lot of change. And I think we do a pretty good job of keeping our finger on the pulse of things, both MSP, my team, BHHA. But it is going to require a different level of keeping our finger on the pulse of things and hearing how all of these significant changes that are coming are affecting the on-the-ground patient care, what you guys are seeing at the bedside, all of those different things. So I want to hear from you. Don't ever hesitate to reach out, because I think both Clark and I will say, I think he even said, we'll tell you if it's not going to fly, you know, as far as something with legislative, maybe it's regulatory, maybe it's something else, but I'd rather hear about the things and hear about them. If a lot of people are experiencing the same thing, that's when we can really start to take action on these different things, but we have to be able to hear about them too. There's a few things I don't like about my job every now and then, but the one thing that I wish I had more of was contact with the clinical side. Our department is an outlier in the health system, right? We deal with all the outside people and all of the stuff that comes with the outside external affairs. But I really wish that I had more time with the clinical side, because I think I would understand a little bit better. And we would have a lot more interaction as far as what we put forward and what you guys are experiencing on a daily basis. I mean, that example of physician burnout, all that stuff. I mean, we hear about these top tier issues, but there are some that are right in the middle too that are very, very impactful on what you guys do every day and on the patients. So I want to hear from you. And we're there as a resource. I know Clark's there as a resource. How many of you guys knew that you belonged to MSV?
Everybody knew. Okay, I wasn't sure if everybody. These are very informed folks, but there are people out there that don't know that. So, to the extent you can spread that and know that resource exists
as a kind of a support when you need it for anything is really important. But continuing the conversation. So,
all right, thanks, friend.
Thank you.